something's happening with that individual, Paul. I still feel that. Breathing thing. But praise be unto God. How y'all doing? Good. Glory. All right, let's get right down to it because I've got all of 11 minutes to share with you. And it's always a good thing when I have the post because that can keep me on track and just moving straight ahead. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. We were there last week. And if any of you recall the teaching, I think it was very good and very beneficial for each and everyone, no matter where you are on the scale of growth and maturity in the body of Christ. If you just began, it's a good place to start. If you've been in for a long time, it may even be a refresher, but it's also a spark that will ignite the flame to keep you burning all the way on into glory. Amen? All right. So with that being said, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. It's not on the screen, but you have it in your bulletin if you have a bulletin. So just follow along. Want to go higher? Okay. I know some just, you know, it's like I don't know what all of that means. I'm just, you know, I just want to live. I just want to exist and all. But the thing of it is that we're in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not taking prisoners. It's delivering prisoners. Amen. It's bringing us into freedom and liberty in God to grow as God would have us to grow. Hallelujah. To mature to sons of God. Paul said it best in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if you ever want to know what the church of the living God is all about, of course, you hear it time and time again. You hear it out of the vision in and of itself, the preach it, build it, work it, prepare it, and all. It's just the assignment that we have. And as I said earlier, we are them now. It's not like this is a different, all of a sudden, you know, almost 2,000 years later, all of a sudden, okay, the church has evolved into something else. No, the church is the church. Always has been, always will be. We're not the church that's in the wilderness as the children of Israel, that congregation out there, because they were lost out there in the wilderness. They had been delivered from 400 years of Egyptian slavery, and they had been brought into the land of promise. The promise wasn't to them. It was to their forefathers. It was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's the reason why God upheld the covenant with his people, because of the promises that he made to their fathers, if you will. And so with that being said, we fast forward into the new covenant, and the new covenant is built on better promises, and the new covenant is ratified not by the blood of bulls and goats and rams, but by the precious blood of Jesus. We don't have to offer up sacrifices of animals, if you will, on a daily basis for our sins, or have to have somebody go into the very presence of God for us, such as the priest or the high priest. The priest, their primary role was to minister unto the Lord as priests in the offices that they had been overseeing, if you will, whether they were just assembling the tabernacle or taking the tabernacle down and each having a specific part that they played in that, the assembling and disassembling of the tabernacle, leading or helping or assisting the high priest, if you will, and what he needed to be done, leading and assisting even the other priests, because even with them you had like three tiers of priests. But, you know, that was under the old. Now we have one who not only went into the Holy of Holies, but he sat down, and he didn't go into the tabernacle that was made with hands. He went into the true tabernacle. He went into heaven itself, and not with the blood of bulls and goats and rams. He went in there with his own precious blood, and his blood spoke, and his blood still speaks for us today. Amen? And so we're under a new covenant with better promises. And under this new covenant, we are the Peters and the James and the Johns, the Chloes, the Syntyches, and all of the others, if you will. We are them now. Praise God. And what God expected out of them, he expects out of us. Jesus, in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos, John dwelling there on the Isle of Patmos, banished because of the preaching of the gospel, boiled in oil. I heard about one time, but my pastor said he was boiled in oil twice, and neither time could they kill him. How many of you have ever touched some hot oil? It burns, if you will. And they dunked John. I say dunk, but that's just my term. They dunked John in boiling oil two times and could not kill him. So they banish him to the Isle of Patmos, and there God speaks with them. He says, opening up, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You could take John out of the church, but you can't take the church out of John. Anybody get that? In other words, John brought the glory to Patmos. Praise God. So he's out there on the island all by himself. And he says, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he got caught up in the things of God. And Jesus revealed, he saw Jesus in the glorified state, even as Paul saw Jesus in his glorified state when he was on his way to the road to Damascus, if you will. But here you got John being caught up, and Jesus was revealing things to him. And one of the things that Jesus revealed to him was the seven churches, the state and the condition of seven physical local assemblies, if you will, all in a particular area or region. And, he revealed their state and their condition. And so that was literally right there, but also prophetically, he was speaking of seven stages of the churches, of the church, if you will, that the stages that the church would go through. We're now in what's called the Laodicean age of the church. And if we read about these churches, we could see the state and the conditions and how they relate to where we are as a whole. So they speak prophetically of the stages of the church, but they also speak of the various types of ministries that exist. You know, because people can now shop for churches and they can find something different in each one. Something they like, something that they don't like. If you don't like tongues, you can find a church that does not pray in tongues. And if tongues reminds you of something that is evil or demonic, you can find people who say, yeah, tongues are of the devil, if you will. You know, you can find churches that they don't have stuff on the screen. They don't even have musical instruments, if you will. They believe in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So no music, no instruments, if you will, just the hymnals, if you will, and maybe a projector screen or something like that, where everybody just, you know, reads and, you know, and hum, and then sit down and listen. You know, you just depending on how you grew up or depending on your taste, you can find a nightclub type of a church where you got light shows and everything else going on. I'm not bad-mouthing. I'm not criticizing. It may sound like it, but I'm just saying you can find any type of church basically that you want that suits you. You can find a church that is hot and on fire for God and has no time for the world, and you can find a church that is just flowing in the ways of the world and little time for God. You get in and you're out within an hour's time, and you know like that, and if you will, and you can be entertained, or you can come and you can entertain the one who is worthy of glory and honor and prayer. You can find any type of church. You find a church that prays. You can find a church that does not pray. You can find a church that still preaches and teaches from the Bible. You can find a church that does not teach and preach from the Bible. You can find all sorts. You can find churches that like to get drunk, and you can find churches that like to remain sober, as the word tells us, that we ought to be sober, clear thinking. We have no time to be drinking and smoking and all of these other things that the world indulges in. We are not of the world. We are of the kingdom of God now. So there's a difference. But you can find any type of assembly. And so it speaks of, in that message that Jesus gave to John on the Isle of Patmos in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where he talks about the seven stages of the churches, if you will, and he talks about the different types of churches and all of that. And, you know, we're in that last stage. We're neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, if you will. We're trying to blend with society rather than stand out from society. Society needs the church. They need the blood. They need Jesus. They need salvation. They don't need friends who are going to make them comfortable in their sin. I didn't need nobody to make me feel comfortable in my sin. But I had a lot of people that kept me comfortable in my sin, but I got convicted by opening up the Bible myself, and Jesus himself convicted me of my sin, and I started working on, and it ain't about me. So I'm just trying to give my own personal testimony, if you will. And maybe you can identify with it, and maybe you can't identify with it, but I just need you to know that, you know, what I, he just, you know, dealt with me, and I started getting things right, if you will. And I'm, you know, as I've said before, February 26, 1984, so this is now my 35th year in God, and this is older than many of you who are sitting in these chairs. I wasn't even born 35 years ago. Yeah, you were in your dad's loins, if you will, floating around, waiting till you and your dad and your mom met, and then you came forth. But the thing of it is that I'm just as happy, just as thrilled, just as excited about being saved as I was the first day. As a matter of fact, I appreciate my salvation more now than I did at the beginning. Amen. And it wasn't all bad at the beginning, but I appreciate it so much more now. And so the older you go, the older you grow, the more you mature. And that's what God wants for his sons and daughters, to keep growing and keep maturing. Why? Because we go back to Ephesians, that we might attain or get to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ Jesus. That's not just when we die and go on to be with him. It's like we're moving in that manner and that direction now. God wants to conform us to the image and likeness of Christ. It ain't going to happen after we go on to glory. He's doing things right now. People need to see Jesus right now. He is the head, and we are the body, and we ought to reflect our head. Amen? So with all of that being said, anybody want to go higher? You know, you don't want to just stay the same as the first day you got saved. And, you know, you've been saved all of these years and nothing has changed. You're still the same person you were when you got, as a matter of fact, you know, it can really get, I want to say boring, but it's even more than boring. It could be burdensome to remain the same coming into Christ Jesus and not growing and changing. Change is good for us. Change is much better than what we were before we came to him. You'll see the growth and you'll appreciate the growth. And I'm not saying that you're not necessarily growing, but when I say, do you want to go higher? I don't care if you're 100 years old, been in Jesus for 75 of those years, you still have a desire to grow and go higher in the things of God, because you want, as long as you are in this earth, you want to be able to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, move like Jesus, live like Jesus. You want to imitate Jesus. Paul said this, and so worthy of repeating. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow is not just this, because Jesus is no longer physically on the earth, but by his spirit he lives in us. Following, imitate him. Following, do what he did. Following, say what he says. Following, see life as he saw it. Following, doing the will of the Father. Following, taking on his attitude and mindset. My will is to do the will of him that sent me. Praise God. It's that mindset and attitude. And I know you hear me saying that all the time, but really that's what life is all about. See, I ain't lost. I didn't get saved and then get lost again. I got saved and started finding out what I'm supposed to do with this life. And again, it ain't about me. I'm just using myself as an example. I can speak about others as well, but I don't want to put people in a, you know, an uncomfortable position. Sometimes I do it, but, you know, I'm trying just to, you know, not make people feel uncomfortable in that regards. There's enough uncomfortability in the preaching of the truth of the word, and that's where conviction comes in. But that should be the mindset and the goal of the believer, to be more like Christ. And that's all about going higher. That's all about pursuing the things of God. That's all about living the life that God gave me to live. Because my life, your life, was dead in trespasses and sins. No way of redemption. Couldn't save ourselves. Couldn't deliver ourselves. Couldn't do anything for ourselves except for live day to day to day until we die, and then we perish and go to hell. Heaven is not automatic for people. I like the way Pastor Rod says it. He says it like this. He says, everybody's going to go to heaven, but not everybody's going to be able to stay there. Meaning that there's going to be those words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So while we are yet here on this earth, how do we keep our interest up? How do we keep from being bored? How do we keep from being worldly? I mean, we've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. How do I walk in that marvelous light? How do I live that kind of a life? How do I live in the life? I'm used to living in darkness. We keep growing. We keep reading, we keep hearing, we keep praying, we keep listening, we keep spending. Spending what? Spending time, not just money, spending time in the very presence of God. I'm telling you, you get addicted to it. You'll find out that this is truly life, and this is what life is all about. It's not about, you know, just me and my house and my family and my, you know, and, you know, we live here and we just, you know, and going to work every day and stuff like that. Those are good things, but those good things can't save anybody. Life is all about having a true relationship with the one true and living God, who is the author of life and the creator of all creation. When we come to him, we simply come into realizing what purpose is all about, what life is truly all about. That keeps us from being lost. There's a lot of intoxicating things out there in the world, and they are inspired by Satan. He's known as the god of this world, although he does not own this world, but he's known as the god of this world. He's the mastermind behind all of the wickedness and the darkness that goes on in the land. He's the mastermind behind the earthquakes and the famines and things of that nature. All of that is a result of the fall, and the result of the fall is a result of sin. Sin came in the world, and death through sin, therefore death spread to all men, and all have sinned. And when we sin, we give place to the devil, and the devil begins to rule. He's the one who first sinned. He sinned in heaven. He thought he could exalt his throne above God's throne. He thought he could receive the glory and honor and praise that rightfully belonged to God. He felt like he was God, if you will. And he was able to deceive a third of the host of heaven. And God cast every one of them out. It happened so quickly that, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And so with that being said, we see where sin originated. It originated with Satan. Satan is the one who tempted lied to Eve, and then got Adam to willfully transgress against God. Satan is behind it all. And Satan has his demons to do his work, if you will. And so the world is inspired by sin. The world derives all of its things from a sinful nature, if you will. But God is holy. And he does not become unholy in order to deal with unholy mankind. But he calls mankind to holiness. He calls us to our true identity. Satan does not have a pathway of redemption, sanctification, or salvation. Neither do demons. They were in the very presence of God. They saw God with no veil before them. They saw the glory. They participated in worshiping God. And then one day they rebelled against God. And in their rebellion, they were confined to darkness, chains of darkness, and cannot escape that now. So they rule in the darkness. If we walk in the light, they can't rule over us. But if we walk in darkness, they have possession over our soul. They can influence us from the outside. They can dwell within us and possess us and use us from the inside. By the same way, God can dwell in us and he can influence us and guide us even from the outside. He dwells in us by way of his spirit. Are you with me? He dwells in us by way of his spirit, the Holy Spirit. You have the very nature of God, the Holy Spirit of God. You have divine nature on the inside of you. But then the Holy Ghost also comes upon you. And when he comes upon you, he empowers you for what? He empowers you for service. He empowers you not just to stop drinking, stop cussing, stop smoking, stop nightclubbing, stop cussing, stop doing all of these. He's not there just to do all of the stops. Jesus said he's there to lead us into all truth. He's here to show us things which are to come. He's here to bring things to our remembrance and not our past. Praise God. He's not here to bring our past to our remembrance. He's here to bring the things that Jesus has taught us, stuff that we may have forgotten about that are necessary for the moment. He's there to remind us. He's there to convict us if we need conviction. And the reason we get convicted is when we start behaving like the old person we used to be. And then he turns on the warning lights, because that's his role and responsibility, to convict the world of sin, of judgment, and righteousness. And so if we start to get out of character or out of sorts, the Holy Ghost begins to convict us to let us know you're in error. This is not good for you. This is not right for you. And that conviction is good. Why is it good? Because it helps to sustain us and bring us into alignment with God. It helps to keep us. He's known as the keeper. He's known as the helper. He's known as the intercessor, the advocate, the counselor, the standby, if you will. He's everything that we need to fulfill the hope of God's calling. And he's there to help us to grow into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Whoo, praise God. It feels good just saying it. It feels good hearing it. It feels good realizing it. It feels good walking in it. Yeah. I mean, we don't even have time to be worldly anymore. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an issue of, you know, oh, it's that church again. It's that church again. No, it's the church of the living God. It's not just that church. It's the church of the Word of God. It's the plan and purpose of God. It's the will and the way of God. And the thing of it is if you don't have no relationship with God, this is foreign to you. It's like ching ching. Oh, I'm not mocking anybody, so please, I hope I don't have any Chinese or Japanese. And if you, I wasn't mocking. The reason I do that now is because people are so easily offended, and we're not here to placate to people's emotions, but some things we just want to be clear on. But if I start talking to you in a foreign language, if you will, like I know a few Spanish or Hispanic words, like como se dice, and, you know, como se llama, and, you know, arrivederci, that's Italian, italiano, and si como no, and then I learned some other words that I don't even want to say anymore. But if I start speaking to you in a language that you don't understand, it's foreign. And you can't comprehend it, so you can't even respond to it. Paul talks something about tongues, if you will. It's like if I come to you speaking in tongues, you know, and I don't interpret or somebody doesn't interpret, it's going to be unfruitful for you. But we speak in a language that you can understand, you can take in, so that we can grow from. So the Spirit of God is here to, you know, to minister to each and every one of us, that Christ may be he may be glorified in these lives that we have here on earth. Yeah. You know, and so for a person to resist that is like that means we don't have a relationship with God. And the problem with that is not to get mad and angry. Who are you to tell me? I've been in church all these years. Who are you going to tell me that I don't have a relationship with God? Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And as the proper way to say it, the proof of the eating is in the pudding. And so the thing of it is that for a child of God, you look at the life of Jesus. Was there ever a day that Jesus operated outside of the will of the Father? And we might say, well, see, that's just Jesus. You know, Jesus was perfect. And Jesus, you know, he didn't have the sinful nature. Well, he's delivered us from the sinful nature. My body tells me, the Word of God tells me, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost dwells here now. So am I going to acknowledge and submit to the authority and rule of the Holy Ghost? Or am I going to let my Adamic nature, the fallen nature, the rebellious nature, the resistant nature, the hateful, prideful nature, if you will, dominate in me? No. If I wanted that life to dominate, I would have stayed where I was rather than make myself miserable by trying to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. You know, we don't want to pretend that we have a relationship with God. We want to actually have a relationship with him. And that don't come by me spending my time doing worldly stuff. That comes from me doing godly stuff, godly way, godly things, godly character, godly attributes, godly. Get it? G-O-D-L-Y. Godly, godlike. Doing things that God would do if he was on the face of this earth. And if we say, well, he ain't here. Well, Jesus walked this earth for 33 and a half years. And John said, if we wrote everything that Jesus said and did, I suppose there wouldn't be enough books to contain everything that he did. But enough is written for us to know that he's the Son of God, to know that he's the Savior of the world, to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life, to know that all power and authority is given unto him. Enough is written for us to be convinced that Jesus is who he says he is, nothing less, far greater than our minds could ever think. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yeah. 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 And we can't have an apathetic appetite. I hope that makes sense. Apathetic appetite towards him when he's Lord. You can't say, well, you know, I'm just not like that. Well, I wasn't just like this. When I was in the world, I was in the world. And you've heard me in my testimony. I don't need to go into it again, but I can if some of you need to know. Just some of the stuff that I used to put in. I went from rot gut to the best of the stuff that they sell out. And now some of the stuff they sell out there, and they try and classify it as something classy. I'm like, that's rot gut in our day. You know, that ain't nothing, you know. And they have this glamorous way of dressing it up to make you think you're classy because you're like, New York. So in that, it's like, no, been there, done that. Never go back. Pressing on to the things of God. So let me read this, and then I'll have to close. Want to go higher? Yeah. Want to go higher? Yeah, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God. And I want to amplify. Last week we amplified prophet and what it meant to prophet. And the Hebrew word for prophet is Ya'al, Y-A apostrophe A-L, Ya'al. And it means to ascend. It also means figuratively to become valuable, if you will. And so it's like the higher we go, the more valuable we become to God. In other words, the more we start to mature, the more we start to grow in the things of Christ, the more we become godlike, godly, if you will. Not that we want to become God. We have one God, and that's sufficient. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have one God, so we don't need another. But that we bear his attributes because now we are his offspring. Daddy has adopted us into the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has brought us in. Daddy can't even do away with it. It's like we are in, Jack. Praise God. And we got just as much clout as Israel. As the Jew, if you will. We have just as much clout, just as much influence, just as much access. We all have to come the same way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied about it, that he would be a light unto the Gentiles. We weren't forgot about. We weren't afterthoughts. It was always in the heart and mind of God when he made that promise to Abraham. In you and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God was thinking about everybody. He wants to save us all. We are humanity. We are his highest, greatest creation. And he loves us so much that he wouldn't leave us dead in trespasses and sins, but provided a Savior. Did that before we even made our debut on this earth. It's already planned out. Praise be unto God. That's good news. That's good gospel news. Praise God. He knew we would fail, but he provided a way for us to be reconciled back unto him. So now to resist that, it's like, no, man, don't resist. Run towards. Bad stuff happened. Don't run away. Bad stuff happened. Run toward. Run high. Jump, leap, do something. Just don't sit and wallow in the mire. Get up. Hallelujah. That makes sense. Okay, so I want to focus. Last week it was on to prophet. This week it's on teacheth and leadeth. And that's what your post is all about. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to prosper or to profit. which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And we know that those are, even though Isaiah prophesied, wrote those words, it was actually Jesus saying those words, because he's like, the Spirit and the Lord has sent me. And he's saying, here I am, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Teaching and leading are necessary for growth and maturity in the faith. Let me tell you something. You want to know what will happen to you if you stop going to church? Let me just tell you. You'd be like a fish out of water. You'd eventually die. You'd be kicking for a little bit, but eventually, because you are out of fellowship, out of koinonia. Can I have? Yeah, you can have your own personal relationship, but even that will fizzle out. How do you know? Because you will find yourself in a state of rebellion and resisting the plan and purpose of God, because it is God who sets each one in the body where it pleases him. Now, pride, arrogance, and rebellion will say, well, I don't need that. No, you don't need it. But if you want to live, you got to have it. Got to have it. You can't say that there's no assembly that you can't get in where you can grow thereby. That's why he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until, and that's in your bulletin, until, everybody say until we reach until, then we still got some more until to go. Yeah. When we finally reach that place, then we can say, okay, we're there, praise God. But we won't be like Laodicea and say, we have need of nothing now. We are rich, overflowing in everything, and we have need of nothing. Jesus says, you're poor, miserable, and wretched, and I counsel you to come and buy from me gold refined in the fire. And so many people get so lost in their walk, and you don't have to. It's just something that the Lord has just impressed on me. We can be saved and still be lost. We can get, you know, just off course easy. The only way we'll keep from being lost is by lining up with what God's will is revealed in his word. This, I'm glad I have a regular hard copy, because, you know, this is recognized as the Word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. This is recognized all around the world as the Bible, if you will. And so this will keep us from being lost once we are found. God is not lost. We are. Then when we come to him and he rescues us, then it's through his teachings of his word that keep and sustain us. And that will go as long as you are living and breathing on this earth, to the your last breath will still be lived in the confinement or in the context of God's holy writ or scriptures. The day we deviate from that is the day we start to die and the old man starts to live through whatever means, whether it be pride or rebellion, if you will. You can test the waters if you want to, but you're going to find yourself drying up. And you're going to find yourself more worldly than what you were before. It's not that God wants to see you become worldly. It's not that God wants to punish you in your decision to become worldly. If you look at the context of the prodigal son who wanted his inheritance, wanting that inheritance was simply his life. He wanted his life. He wanted to do and live things his own way. It's defined as him getting his inheritance, his money, if you will, and then going and waste it with prodigal living. But it's actually, I want my life to do what I want to do with it. And so he got it, and he went out there, and what did he do? He wasted it with prodigal, wasteful living. And that's exactly what we'll end up doing. Prodigal, wasteful living. It does not lead to life. You will not find Jesus by going away from him. You find Jesus by coming to him. You will not become like Jesus by being like the world. You'll be like Jesus when you follow and imitate him. Yeah. Yeah. And this goes on a daily basis. And you never get tired of hearing this. you just never get tired of preaching this. Because the resurrection of the cross, not the resurrection of the cross, but the resurrection that took place after Jesus being crucified on the cross and all, that's still alive today. People get bored hearing that. How are they going to get saved? And the same Savior is the same Lord. It's the same gospel. It's the same message, if you will. And you can get tired of it if you want to, but you're going to entangle yourself in the ways of the world to entertain your mind, because your mind's going to want to go after something. And then your heart will get locked into it, and before you know it, that's your life. So teaching and leading are necessary for growth and maturity in the faith. So what do? You get in, you start to hear the word, be taught the word, and then you see the word lived out before you. That's the responsibility of those who preach and teach the word, that their lives may serve as an example for others to follow. So I would say this to you, follow me as I follow Christ. If I ain't following Christ, don't follow me. But follow me as I follow Jesus, if you will. And imitate, you imitate those who go before you. You see how their walk is. You don't imitate somebody that's got a shaky, flaky walk. You don't imitate somebody that's got a weak walk with the Lord. You want to imitate somebody that's got a strong walk with the Lord. And if you can, hang around them as much as you can so that you can grow thereby. If you want to hang around weak Christians who still want to be worldly, that's what you're going to be. You want to be a strong Christian, you got to hang around strong Christians. You want to live a victorious life, you got to hang around victorious people. Even the secular knows that. You want to be successful, hang around successful people. And those traits will rub off on you. And you'll find yourself emulating what they do, and then you get the results that they've gotten. And so teaching and leading are necessary for growth and maturity. I'm about to wrap this up again. Explaining a subject, then demonstrating it, is essential for one's success. Being an example for others to see and follow make the learning process complete. It's work in the kingdom. Jesus said he was our teacher, if you will, and he was also our example. However, you can't teach, listen to this carefully, you can't teach those who don't want to be taught. If you have a resistant spirit, let me just read it because it's there, but I can just quote it because it's out of the heart and I believe it's from the Spirit of God. And you can't lead those who refuse to be led. The kingdom is not an institution of slavery. This is a free will, voluntary choice that every believer has to make and then do. God wants to teach us to profit, to ascend and be valuable, of great use to him, and lead us in the way that we should go, which is what God says in the latter part of that, should go, and not the way that we would go. What's the difference in that? Because I say there's a difference. In teaching us in the way that we should go, those of you who were here Wednesday night, I was sharing Princess Sissy as an illustration and pointing her, okay, go this way and then turn left and then turn left and go to that particular place. And that was just an illustration. But this is how God directs us in his way. He directs us in his way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When you read in the book of Acts, you'll see several times mentioned the way, the way, the way. What did that mean? That meant the way of life for the believer. It meant the way that Jesus was establishing for the New Testament church to walk in, if you will. It was a way, it was a pattern, if you will. It was going on to the very life of the individual. So there's a way that we should go in God, but then there's a way that we would go in life. And so what we have a tendency to try and do is we want to go in our own direction, and then we want God to bless it. It's a Selah moment. There's a way that we should go, but there's a way that we would go, and we go in that direction, and then we want God to bless it. The blessing is in the way that we should go, because that's the way that God is leading us. You notice he says, I am the Lord. I will teach you to profit, and I will lead you in the way that you should go. But I want to do this over here. That's not what I want for you. That's not the way. That's not the way that you should go. You could go, but when you do go, don't ask God to bless the mess that is generated from going off the path that he has you on. Amen. There is a difference. The way of God is foreign to the natural man, and even the spiritual man runs into problems from time to time. And this is what you'll find not necessarily happens to everyone, but, you know, if you have a desire to follow God, and sometimes you think that you are following him, and then you find out that you deviated and you went in a direction that he told you not to go, but you went in faith. You understand that as I'm walking out, because some people may not, who don't see it. You end over here, and you thought it was the direction God was leading you in, and then you found out that it wasn't the way. What do I do? You repent, and you say, Father, forgive me. I thought you were leading me in this way. And you know what Dad will say? No, I told you to keep straight, but you turn to the right. But because you did it in faith, I'm going to honor your faith. But this is what I want you to do. Now come on over here and do it. Because God honors faith, not presumption or foolishness, but faith. Faith stepping out, I believe I've heard from God. And I'm moving out in the direction that God has, that I believe I've heard him in. In that, God can correct you. And you won't get offended or hurt. You'll just, it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then you're back on track and you're going in the direction. And God will bless you even more. Why? Because you took a step. It's like a child that gets up and they start taking their steps and then they fall over. You don't condemn them, baby. You're no good. You'll never be able to walk. No, you pick them up and you keep encouraging. No, come on, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. That's what Dad does when we go out in faith and then it's not the right thing. Dad, no. No, don't stop walking. Don't stop believing. But just come on over here. No, because you can do this. And he gets us on the right path. And then before you know it, man, phew, the blessing and the favor of God. This is all in relationship. This is not by he way up there, I'm down here. He just giving me unbearable commands that I can't live up to. In a relationship, it's like, Lord, you think that high of me? Praise God. You think that good of me? Praise God. Because if I listen to everybody that I used to be around, they think I'm a dog, but you think I'm your child. Praise God. You understand? And so you start moving in the things that God wants you to move in. Again, stand to your feet. So the natural man, it's foreign to the natural man, but even the spirit man runs into problems from time to time. The difference is that the spiritual man never gives up. And I'll stop right there. When I say spiritual man, I mean spiritual man, male or female. You just never give up in this walk. You never stop serving. Hallelujah. Glory. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done this day. And Lord, we thank you because I firmly, truly believe you are still working in Frank's life. I don't know what it is exactly, but I know that you're working. I thank you for healing. I thank you for healing that went into Brother Deontay's body. I thank you for healing that went throughout to those who are watching by Facebook. I thank you, Father God, for all that you've done today. Be glorified. Let the church of the living God be edified. And let every one of our enemies be terrified. For your word declares that you will shortly crush him, bruise him, completely destroy him underneath our feet. And oh, we thank you, Lord God. So be glorified. Now, the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with this eye in Jesus' name. We love you, Facebook. We love you, live stream. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I believe Minister Patton then will come up, and I don't think they're going to keep you to full time, so if you can just bear witness, just just remain just a little bit. They're going to share more with you about the vision. Amen. Thank you, Brother Finn. Thank you, Minister Posada.